What if I told you it's not all sunshine and rainbows for Mookie Betts and all this, that he's going to pay almost $10,000 a day in state income tax?
Oh, my God.
To go with that, too. Never mind. It's still really cool. Let's go look at Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr., basking in the glow of yet another young superstar in the world of sports getting dumb paid this offseason.
Yeah, Mookie Betts gets the 12-year extension at $365 million. We'll get into the total amount and have some fun with numbers. But, you know, a lot of people are going to say today, and I get it, because during this fight when we didn't think there was going to be baseball, we had the players saying, hey, we want this amount of money or percentage of money, and we had baseball owner saying, hey, man, come on. You know, this isn't as profitable as you think, and now we're in a pandemic, to which nobody believed them anyway. I mean, we all knew they were billionaires, and while this year may be a down year, for the most part, they're all doing just fine. So I while they're going to be mocked today to never believe an owner, we never did anyway. I don't think anything has changed. It's just the circumstances that it seems odd to get this kind of payday during what's going on. But this is obviously a long play. It's a 13-year deal that's going on right now. So I think all believe eventually we're going to get back to the more normal part of sports at some point. At least that's what we hope. So this doesn't surprise me. This is a guy getting a lot of money from a team that can pay a lot of money. One of the handful of teams that can pay a lot of money. Nothing has changed there. There's a bunch of teams that would never do this deal because they don't want to do this deal. They don't want to pay this much. And there's some teams that can. And this is one of them. So to me, outside of, you want to say, the timing and the look around what's going on, this doesn't shock me at all.
I think for most people, it's just a reminder of the like hypocrisy and the attitude of a lot of these billionaires. It just underscores that in a major way. It's one thing for all of us to point and laugh. It's another for us to get to point and laugh after they've just shelled out what's almost over a third of $1 billion. You talk about things not changing, though. Mookie Betts, the now very highly paid Dodgers outfielder, had a press conference, his virtual Zoom press conference yesterday, talking about this, and said that one thing that this deal won't change for him.
I am who I am. I don't want to be any more than who I am. And, you know, if it's set an example, then it's set an example. And if it's, you know, if it's kind of falling in line, then it's falling in line. I'm not really overly concerned with having to step in and be a leader now. I'm here to win some rings, bring some rings back to L.A. That's all I'm focused on.
And for him, you know, coming over, you were here on a one-year, $27 million deal to begin with. You're a 27-year-old phenom in the sport, but his point more generally that I also know I'm coming over to a pretty established team, one that's been, you know, that's been a dominant force in the NL for a while now. I'm not going to come in here and immediately start bulldogging people around, which doesn't seem like his personality
to
begin with.
You look at the boxes to check. If he wanted to be a free agent, that was the thought when he was in Boston, that Boston would have to deal with a guy who said he wanted to test free agency. Maybe they didn't want to deal with that. Maybe they didn't want to pay the number eventually they thought they were going to have to pay. Either way, he was traded to L.A. So what does a player look for? Well, I want to maximize my dollars. Check. I'd love it to be with a contender. Check. And oh, by the way, certain time now, you know, notwithstanding of where we are. If it could be geographically in a great area, boy, then a win. Oh, check. I mean, so he's checked all the boxes to sign this deal for a guy that maybe was thinking about checking out free agency and for he got. And again, you look at stats, 6 years in Boston, lifetime average just a little over 300 right now, but on a per game basis, the seventh most valuable position player in baseball history with a minimum of 5 games, most wins against replacement. The WAR stat per 162 games, the best ever is Babe Ruth at 10.5, then Mike Trout at 9.8. By the way, Mike Trout going to play this year, going to miss time when his wife has their child in August, I believe. He doesn't know how long he'll be away, but he is going to play this year. Then you have Roger Hornsby, Barry Bonds, Ted Williams, and then both Lou Gehrig and Mookie Betts sitting at 8.5 games in wins above replacement. So he has that number there and all the different metrics in today's games to go along with it. And he got paid for it. Again, not the exact number. You're going to hear that number. You know, that's the semantics here. I just like having fun with numbers.
I was going to say, you're trying to strip, what, $13 million off this guy's total?
Well, I'm going to take some money off of it because he isn't getting that money. And I want to put it in a number that if you didn't hear in the open, you can relate to, because you hear these numbers, 13 years, 300 and what's going to be $75 million. Okay, man, that's a lot of money. And that's what it's going to be. It's reported as 13 years and 392. It's not. It's a $365 million extension. They were adding the $27 million from this year to it, but he's not getting $27 million. Remember, they're playing 37% of their games. So he's going to make just a tick under $10 million this year. So we'll say $10 million to round it off. So in the next 13 years, he's going to make $375 million. To put that in the context of every day you wake up, every day he wakes up starting today, because the season starts today, so paydays start, every day from today and for 13 more years, every single day, whether he plays, whether he doesn't, off season, whatever, he will make just a little over $79,000 every single day for the next 13 years. That doesn't suck.
No, that doesn't suck. And listen, being a great player in Major League Baseball has always been lucrative, even in the last couple of years, because there's a bigger conversation that goes on even outside of the pandemic with baseball of what we know looms on the other side of this. It was the specter during all the negotiations, and it was the idea that, all right, Major League Baseball CBA is going to expire in sometime after the season. And what you had before this was, yeah, guys like him, guys like Mike Trout, guys like Bryce Harper still finding their way to paydays. But a lot of other free agents had to wait a really long time free agency a couple years ago when things were more normal in this. And the situation was starting to get really untenable between both of those sides. And this still doesn't change that. Like, guys like this were always going to get rewarded. But we know there's still that in the background for Major League Baseball, which is there's a big money disagreement between most of Major League's players, most of the Major League Baseball free agents, and the ownership side of things that's still going to have to be reckoned with.
It's the one thing that doesn't change in any of the sports, right? The biggest of the big are still going to get theirs, right? And that's always going to happen. The biggest of the big are always going to get theirs, and that's where Mookie Betts is. It's the next level down that is struggling, and then, you know, blank runs downhill. It goes downhill from there. So you're right. The majority, as we saw in baseball, something that we hadn't seen in baseball. Baseball, you know, always thought to have the best union. Still, it's right there, no doubt about it, in how their players get with all the benefits and how they're, you know, which is something I know people don't care about, but as a former player, you care about, and it's fantastic in baseball, to the salaries that they make, you know, from the average salary. And then we saw the NBA go through that incredible run as well, where it wasn't just the stars. There was that year where the average Joe was making an incredible amount of money in the NBA. But for the most part, that's not the norm. You're right. The bigs get theirs, and then it starts to differ a little bit going downhill. So, and that is something baseball, because remember, the union is supposed to fight for the majority, not just the high few. As a matter of fact, you'd rather have them fighting for the middle guys, kind of like the last NFL CBA, which really benefited the foot soldiers more than anybody else.
Yeah, and the thought with baseball, with it's an uncapped sport, has always been, man, if you've got these guys getting shelled out monster contracts and you've got nothing in the way of a true salary cap, we know that's changed somewhat for Major League Baseball since the last CBA, where they're a little more beholden to something resembling that. The idea is that, all right, it brings everyone else. It's the rising tide lifts all ships kind of model in all of this one. But now, if that's not happening, Major League Baseball has got to look at this and say, all right, what are we going to endure and do to ensure most of our constituency gets what they need to do? That's why they fought so hard against anything resembling a salary cap this summer, and it's why they still have plenty on their plate when things are going to get talked about coming up after this strange season that gets going tonight.
So Mookie playing tonight as the Dodgers take on the Giants in the second of the doubleheader on ESPN. Johnny Cueto goes against Clayton Kershaw. 7 o'clock, it's the Yankees and Nationals. Gerrit Cole against Max Scherzer. So you know what they're going to be saying for the Dodgers for a while. Hey, Mookie, you're buying.
Yeah, I think that's got to be the beautiful part is now you're probably not going out to dinner in any of these places and doing all that. But in the past, it's a lot easier to know. I want to imagine a world where, like him, because it's funny, Patrick Mahomes, we know his baseball connections.
Right.
So the idea of like him, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Mookie Betts, I'll just get on a plane and go on a vacation somewhere. I wonder what kind of scene you can conjure up with that group and that amount of money.
And when the bill come, who picks it up? Because we know if it's just the Dodgers and they're going out, where's the bill go? And everybody's pointing to Mookie right there.
I feel like if the bill comes up at that table full of those guys, everyone just kind of looks at each other and laughs because they all remember it doesn't matter.
And probably says, wait, you're really making us pay for this? You know who we are?
Oh, my God. Oh, all right. Coming up next, as we transition from, as you mentioned, the Major League Baseball getting started tonight to the NBA that's continuing to try and operate inside of that bubble, we're going to take a look at two players who are always going to be connected at the hip. even if they have to stay 6 feet apart. We'll explain that next. It's Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. I like to think I like to think that beget Thaide that's become such a phenomenon.
I'm surprised you haven't oiled up. I mean, if you're going to show some skin, oil up, man.
The problem is my thighs are so pale that if I oiled them and then the studio lights we have in here, they would probably blind the audience.
I don't understand why your thighs are so pale. You're outside a decent amount. It's been very sunny here and hot in Connecticut. How do you not tan on your legs?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I don't know if I have something wrong with me.
You don't.
Where genetically, my thighs are just so predisposed to extreme whiteness that they can't possibly take in sun.
They're almost transparent.
Yeah, no, listen, it's alarming, and it's a shame. They're great legs. If I got a little tan on these things, you throw the cuts in there now, all of a sudden, Thaide is even more sexually charged than it already is.
Subjective, but okay.
No, hey, listen, this is a lot of feedback over time. This is a labor of love right here. This is something that's meant a lot to me. So, Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr. here. Swapping notes about thighs. Just guys being dudes here on ESPN Radio. As we get ready for sports stuff, going to happen for real tonight again. Major League Baseball opening night tonight. Gerrit Cole, Max Scherzer, Nats, Yankees. It is all happening. Dodgers, Giants, the late game there as well. But we know the NBA started scrimmaging yesterday.
Yes, they did.
And it was great to see. My God, the Nets got their doors blown off by the Pelicans and all of this. And it's a reminder that we're starting to learn and relearn things about people from a basketball sense when they get back onto the court. And so to help do that, we thought, all right, well, we would give our NBA status updates, kind of our Cliff Notes versions of what's been going on with these NBA teams since we last saw them on the court all the way back before the pandemic got started. We got you caught up on a few teams in the last couple of days. We wanted to pair two together on this one because they're going basically to be competing neck and neck down the stretch to see who gets into this expanded playoff grouping here. And so our NBA status updates today are going to be the Pelicans and the Grizzlies. Let's start with Memphis and get caught up on Ja Morant and company.
Golic and Wingo, NBA status update. Status update. Memphis Grizzlies.
Hey, it's Jeff Calkins of the Daily Memphian and 92.9 FM in Memphis. And as the NBA season cranks up again, the Memphis Grizzlies know very well that they are a team that NBA fans will be rooting against. Why? Because right now, Grizzlies are the 8th seed in the West, and if they hang on to that spot, the country will not get to see Zion Williamson against LeBron James in the first round of the playoffs. So the Grizzlies are aiming to spoil things for everyone except for the people of Memphis who can't wait to see the return of their young superstar, Ja Morant. Like every other American, Ja Morant gained a good 12 pounds during the pandemic. Unlike every other American, that was 12 pounds of muscle. Can you imagine a more explosive Ja Morant? Because he will not be able to try out their new toy in Justice Winslow, who injured his hip the other day and will miss the rest of the season, proving that there's no such thing as bubble wrap. Yes, the Grizzlies are feeling pretty good about nailing down their first playoff appearance of the Morant era. They may not be America's favorite for that 8th seed, but they are the favorites in Las Vegas. You tell me which means more.
Our thanks to Jeff Calkins on that one, helping us out with the Memphis intro there. Oh, I would dispute, as long as Dame Lillard is inside the bubble, there will always be bubble wrap. So,
wow.
That being said, Memphis, as he said, they're public enemy number one in this.
They really are. I mean, it's a shame, but every league has teams like this, kind of that nondescript. Outside of Ja Morant, he is going to be the rookie of the year. Remember, that voting is done. It ended as of March 11th. It doesn't go into these games. He is going to be the rookie of the year over Zion Williamson. A lot of people wondered, could Zion catch him if they counted these games? Like if New Orleans actually caught Memphis, could that change? But it's not. Ja Morant's going to be the rookie of the year. He is a hell of a player to watch. But that team, unfortunately, around the country is not the team you're pointing at, because Zion, the young phenom, is not on it, even though Ja Morant is a young phenom as well.
Ja Morant's been doing great. He gained this quarantine mass, and he's still getting workout shamed by Zion, who is as slim thick as anybody that you're going to see in this entire situation. So they are tied to the hip forever, though. Zion and Ja are always going to be two guys discussed in this way. And so with that in mind.
Yeah, and I do think real quickly with Memphis, where they build this team, because this was basically a 500 team. I think they were 32-33 before it stopped. So a 500 team. So kind of thought of that way. You're kind of a meh team. Where with Zion, everybody thought with New Orleans, well, he was hurt for the first 30-some games. we have a lot of higher expectations for this team. But in Memphis, they're just got to keep plugging away. And I don't know if they're ever going to become, you know, this crowd favorite. But obviously, they don't care about that. They just want to get better and be reckoned with as one of the better teams in the West. And they have a little more to do to get there.
Yeah, high, high hopes for those Pelicans. We turn it to Andrew Lopez, our ESPN Pelicans reporter, to give us our status update on that squad.
Golic and Wingo, NBA status update. New Orleans Pelicans.
This is Andrew Lopez here, ESPN NBA reporter, covering the New Orleans Pelicans, who for the moment are still Zion Williamson-less. When the season was stopped on March 11th, the Pelicans were about to take the floor against the Sacramento Kings, but never did. At that point, they were 3.5 games back of the Memphis Grizzlies for the 8th seed in the Western Conference. Pelicans were presented with the league's easiest schedule inside the bubble. Of course, the biggest storyline for New Orleans right now is Zion Williamson. Is he in? Is he out? Zion left the bubble on July 16th to attend to a family medical emergency, and as of this morning, has not returned. However, on Wednesday, the Pelicans announced that Zion was being tested every day. He's been negative every day, that he's been outside the bubble, which should fast-track his return. He should only be in quarantine for 4 days once he gets back to Orlando. On the court, Pelicans feel they have enough to catch Memphis, even without Zion. In the last 17 games they played without Zion on the floor, Pelicans went 12-5. Any team would want the rookie phenom on the floor, but the Pelicans' confidence level to make the playoffs is there either way.
So, I mean, you have a team here, and as far as Zion is concerned, because he has been testing every day, and as long as he keeps testing negative every day, and he's going to be there away for over a week. So the last 7 days he's gone, leading up to that, if he tested negative every one of those days, he would have to quarantine for still 4 days. So you're looking at, if he wants to be there for opening day, that he would need to be back by the 26th. Do the simple math there. It's the 23rd now. If he's back, he'd have to quarantine for the 4 days if he's back by the 26th and could be ready to go. Now, would he play right away? I have no idea, because he's been gone for a while. He hasn't been playing basketball. So it's hard to believe that he would go right out there and play. But that's kind of been with injury early on. And now, again, the most important thing is this emergency in the family, and we really hope everything is okay. But reasons for Zion not being there, everybody's still kind of waiting for the footing and the traction of what this team, a team full of young players, can be with Zion there all the time.
A team that without him throttled the Nets last night by about, what, 30 in that situation? So I understand their scrimmages. It's not an exact sample size, but this is a team that was trending in that direction. And again, it's hard to avoid the catnip. And this is the difficult part for, we see this with young quarterbacks all the time in the NFL, where you get this clamoring to get a young guy out there, even if it might not be the perfect situation yet. But man, when you've gotten him out onto the court, the Pelicans' five-man lineup of Ball, Holiday, Ingram, Zion, and Favors has outscored opponents by 130 points since January 2nd. Over that time period, no other lineup has outscored its opponent by more than 63 points. He has been as box office as we expected once he got on the court. And now on top of all of it, we see all these pictures of him banged up in his mask, looking every bit like the character from the Batman movie. Dude is yoked, and he looks like he's thinned out a little bit, which was one of the big questions about him.
You know, while Drew Holiday is 30, and obviously they brought in J.J. Redick, who is 36. Lonzo Ball is 22, obviously, and Brandon Ingram is 22, and we know how young Zion is, so a nice young core there to build, and there are such high hopes, kind of like there was when Anthony Davis got there, you know, and nothing ever came of that. But obviously now with Zion, they're really going to be working to try and build that with the young squad. They have them around them right now, but they got to have them there, and they got to have them there on a consistent basis. And that was a worry, first with his weight, then with some of the injuries that he had in college, and then right in the summer league when he got drafted by New Orleans. They started out in game one. How about that, the anticipation? Remember, all of a sudden, the summer league got popular when Lonzo Ball was the second pick, you know, by the Lakers.
Yep.
You know, goes to summer ball, and all of a sudden, wow, look at this. You know, summer ball was really cool, and the same thing was going to be with Zion, and he gets hurt in game one and goes to miss all that time. So you're still kind of waiting. They're kind of spinning the wheels, waiting for that traction to really grab hold.
Yeah, and I think all of this is a reminder that while Ja Morant is going to probably win Rookie of the Year still, because as we know, all of the voting and things are going to be based off of what happened already. We found that out about all the NBA awards, including MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, leading into this season. But Ja has a very – it's a very different task there, because when you look at what he was replacing in Memphis, it was that grindhouse crew. It was Zach Randolph and the teams that we were used to, these gritty, tough teams and all that. Ja now gets to go there and try and be a superstar in that environment there and really change that. As you mentioned, the Pelicans had Anthony Davis in this situation.
Yep.
They had a spot where they had him in that rookie control and that young player control first coming out with a chance to build and didn't make anything of it. So it's high-stakes poker here. And so trying to balance, I'm sure, your fear of injury in this situation with knowing you've got something that's so uniquely box office. Like, we saw it in college basketball this year. It was a different environment without Zion around there. And we saw, as soon as he stepped on the court, the idea of him and LeBron James being able to go out there, because he's delivered so much in the early going, which, as we saw with LeBron, like, going out there and delivering when you're expected to and when you're replacing a player like Anthony Davis is about as difficult a situation as you can come into, and the kid hasn't flinched.
So, obviously, we're doing a lot of the recaps. We're starting with the lower teams, and we'll keep doing the rest of the teams as we go up to more of the favorites. But now, for this situation, it is basically four teams for one slot. Memphis is sitting at the 8th slot right now. Dallas is at 7, but 7 games ahead of Memphis. So, the 7 and up are going to be already, depending on what order it's in. 8 is going to be Memphis, Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento. That's what it's going to be. And if they're close enough between 8 and 9, there'll be a play-in for it. So you can get a play to the play-in and then to the A seed, all to play the Los Angeles Lakers, who would have to have an unbelievable fall to lose their 5.5 game lead on the Lakers for the number one slot. So no one thinks that's going to happen. So everybody wants LeBron against Zion.
Well, I mean,
right?
Listen, the ideal world, like, the NBA wants that.
Yeah, without
like,
question.
The NBA
yes.
could and should want that matchup. The ideal world for them is that we get a play-in between Memphis and the
New
Pelicans
Orleans,
in
right.
that. You get your two young stars, and then you have Zion and the Pelicans win to get to face the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, if I am scripting this for the NBA and making the ideal world for them as they return to play, my oh my, you couldn't ask for anything better than that.
And except you got Portland and Sacramento, obviously, would you know, wanting to say, hey, forget that, man. You know, we want to be part of this. And unfortunately, the majority of the country and what they want to see will differ from that.
What you want pales in comparison to what I need, actual players with a stake in this game. Oh, well, as we get ourselves ready for that, and as we get you all updated on everything that's going to come, more of our Cliff Notes, these NBA status updates that have been great and such a great job by our staff and everyone involved in putting those together, we'll keep you posted on that as the NBA gets ready to restart next week. But we have to wait even less time for return to baseball. We're going to get to that and someone who's extra excited for that after this word from SportsCenter. Oh, man.
You sign your name and get $65 million handed to you.
Can't even imagine what that's like. Like, for me, like, living last night was sitting around watching two rappers I grew up watching on Instagram while I sipped ciders. Like, DMX and Snoop Dogg, to me, felt like luxury in these modern times. That guy signed his name on a piece of paper is going to get $65 million.
Sports.
What am I supposed to do with all that information? You know what? That's an interesting question, and to maybe help us try and process this in a way that makes sense, ESPN senior Major League Baseball insider Jeff Passan is going to join us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jeff, I know you're a Wu-Tang guy. Cash rules everything around Mookie Betts right now. This is this seemed like a no-brainer despite the current backdrop of the coronavirus and all the wailing of gnashing of teeth that we heard from the ownership in Major League Baseball, huh?
That's kind of the incredible part of this whole thing, right? It's not, you know, we're kind of used to these enormous numbers with athletes, whether it's Mike Trout getting $426 million, Patrick Mahomes. By the way, what did Patrick Mahomes actually end up at? Was it 450? Was it 475? Was it 500?
It 475. 477, I believe, was the total.
It could
value.
Be over 500, but those deals, Jeff, are so different than baseball. That's going to be restructured
right.
in a number of years. Those numbers are going to change. He's going to make a lot, no doubt about it, but that's always the one thing we've known about baseball. The end number is the end number for these guys.
Yeah, Mookie Betts, when it's all said and done. Actually, no, because this year's salary is prorated, so he's not going to get the full $392, but he's going to get pretty close to $392 million when it's all said and done. And the fact that he is going to get that much money in the pandemic when, as you guys know, baseball owners spent a lot of time talking this offseason about, talking after play was suspended about how much money that they're going to be losing. I believe that it was Tom Ricketts, the owner of the Chicago Cubs, who said the losses are going to be biblical. Mookie Betts is like in biblical times right now, getting fed grapes by people. And he has, you know, he is the person who is ending up the best, maybe out of everyone in all of this. And it's what made it so shocking that even with the pandemic still raging on, the Dodgers believed that signing Mookie Betts to this mega deal was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the bottom line is they may be losing some money this year, but we know they have money. So, and nothing has changed. The rich teams are able to pay these, and the other teams won't pay this. And this, it's just the timing of everything. I get it, but I don't think anything has really changed on the facts of baseball and paying these contracts. Is there still going to be an issue? Because we were talking about the big-time players, Jeff, are always going to get the big-time money. Is it the, remember the next tier, we had so many, more than a few free agents really not signing with anybody for a long time. They weren't these big of deals, but they just weren't signing. Is that something that's going to change, or is it always just going to be the rich are going to get theirs and we're not sure about everybody else?
Baseball is not trickle down economics. You know, if Mookie Betts goes and gets a particular amount, that doesn't mean that people beneath him are going to be getting more as well. And I think the effect that this has, it'll have some effect on, like, Francisco Lindor, for example. You know, there was the thought that with Francisco Lindor, that with Javi Baez, that with some of the guys in upcoming free agent classes who were primed to get a lot of money, that the pandemic was really going to affect them. I'm not quite as convinced of that now after seeing what happened yesterday, but I am still extremely convinced that the, you know, the average 30-year-old middle reliever is going to have a really hard time finding work starting next year.
Jeff Passan with us, our senior ESPN MLB insider. Tune in tonight as opening action with Aaron Judge and the Yankees visiting the defending champion Nats, presented by Geico. Coverage begins at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN. And we will certainly get to the storylines surrounding opening night. But, Jeff, first we got to figure out what the Blue Jays are going to be doing here. They get the Heisman from the state of Pennsylvania on this front and trying to play their games at PNC. So what is the most likely option for them looking like as we sit here today?
You know, I think that if in the end, if the Baltimore Orioles are willing to host them and if the state of Maryland is willing to allow them in and to allow, you know, 30 more games into the state, that's the most desirable spot. What's the likeliest? I think it depends. I mean, if you're the Blue Jays players, would you rather, because you want to play in a big league ballpark, spend more of your games, if perhaps all of your games, on the road and use those as your quote unquote home games? Or would you rather go to like AAA Buffalo? And, you know, right now Buffalo doesn't have approval from Major League Baseball. So this concept of being a road warrior is very much alive at this point. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think it might actually be the odds-on favorite at this point for what the Blue Jays are going to do.
I could only speak as a former athlete in this and those scenarios, as I think I would want one spot to call temporary home for a while, albeit, you know, a Triple A ballpark as opposed to a big league ballpark. A lot of things are different this year. You know, that's just the way it is. So we'll wait and see how that plays out. Bottom line, though, we start tonight. And the difference is normally the start of a baseball season is like the start of a marathon. Everybody kind of standing there and kind of slowly getting out of the starting blocks, where this is going to be like the 100-yard dash. Everybody's in those blocks coming out like a sprint. So what's your expectation early on from the start of the season?
I have a hard time trying to figure out what this is going to be like exactly, just because I've never seen anything like it before. You know, in baseball, we're used to the idea of the marathon, and the fact that it's going to be a sprint is almost confusing to me, just because I don't know how it's going to feel. I don't know what that's going to look like. And I think baseball really can benefit from it. And if they wind up expanding the playoffs after all, and not only do you have this shootout over 60 games, but that 16 of the teams are going to make the playoffs, it's going to make things even more interesting in the end.
Jeff, is that a good sign or a bad sign for Major League Baseball and the Players Association that they haven't yet figured out the playoff format going into this season?
It's completely ridiculous, but it's baseball. Like, what would baseball be if it did things right or normally? It's got to have, like, some level of screw-up in it, right? Everything can't fire on all cylinders for it to be baseball. And though, I will say this. I feel like Max Scherzer versus Gerrit Cole in the first game of the season is kind of firing on all cylinders. Like, tonight's going to be, as long as the weather holds up, I think tonight's going to be a very cool night.
I would complain. Everybody looking forward to this.
Now that you said the weather thing, though, I'm concerned now.
Yeah.
You know what? I've been sitting here watching this thing for like 24 hours. We said, like, there was a humongous storm here yesterday. I'm sorry. If there's rain tonight, it's not my fault because I set it on Golden Wingo. Come on. Don't.
I'm not
don't
blaming you,
that.
Jeff. I'm blaming 2020. I'm very worried about this year's hold on my happiness. I want to be clear. You are completely absolved in blaming Jeff.
I'll tell you what. I think we dare 2020. I'm tired of 2020. I'm tired of it bullying us around. I'm tired of sitting here.
Yes.
Listen, it's all true. But I still want to, like, I want to be like the guy who tries to stand up and then is just smited by 2020. Because you know it's going to happen. You know, Jeff, 2020 does not suffer fools gladly.
Jeff, I only have six more shows on ESPN Radio, so I'm flat out blaming you if there's no game tonight.
you're like Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon, man. You just want to avoid everything you possibly can.
Exactly right. Shielding it away. I got retirement coming up.
Jeff Passan, our ESPN MLB insider. Jeff, we appreciate you joining us. Dad's going to blame you. I'm not. Either way, we will look up point and dare 2020 together on this one. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, Mike. Take care.
Thanks, Jeff. See ya. I'm really not blaming him.
You know what? Listen, you can if you want. You can if you want,
sure,
at this
not?
Point.
Got to blame someone, right?
Exactly. We'll figure it out. The amorphous 2020 that we all point and shout at, though, is a common enemy. I like that. I'm with Jeff on that one. We'll dare it. And what is surely the worst mistake I will make
horrific.
Today. All right, guys, book it. You know the drill. You add book it to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the books.
You know what time it is. It's book it time, damn it.
Let's go.
Let's get this thing cracking.
Let's go.
Golic and Wingo brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Cover all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same networks as big carriers. Only pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs, high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Check out terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. One other thing you can quickly book is I'm not retiring. As my wife quickly texted me when I goofed around when talked about Lethal Weapon and Danny Glover last segment with Jeff Passan, that was about him wanting to play it safe because he was retiring, and I said I was Danny Glover. He did. I'm not retiring.
Yeah, Mom said you're not allowed to do that because you've got to pay for a wedding.
That's exactly right. She said, don't tell anybody you're retiring. You're not retiring.
Yep, there you go. I would say you've received orders from the true boss in your life in that one.
Not
so
retiring.
I would listen to those.
Not allowed to retire.
I would listen to those as someone who was also lived around my mom. It is probably best that you just
best
listen.
Way to go.
Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr. both listening to my mom, both ready to play Book It on all of this one. Dad, you know how it works. Penultimate book it here. Savor the flavor because we only got two of these left.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. I know. It's special book it because it's the one we've got here right now. Started off, Yankees-Nats going to set a record for the most watched opening day in Major League history. You going to book it?
It's been 266 straight days with no games. I am absolutely booking this thing.
You can
7
book
o'clock.
It.
Nice time for everybody to be able to watch. You know, West Coast, I get it. It's coming right to the end of the day at 4 o'clock, but somehow, some way, I think you'll find a way. But I am going to absolutely book this one. Gerrit Cole, Max Scherzer, start of a delayed season.
First time we've ever had two pitchers with a 300 strikeout season, both facing off in the same game on this. It's going to be incredible. Yeah, I'll book it. I think I think the buildup, it's clear. It's been done really. It's, you know, as well as baseball can do anything right now, setting up this particular matchup to be the kickoff for that one, involving a team like the Yankees that we know is going to be one of the favorites going in this one, them and the Dodgers, who both play tonight, right. The Dodgers and the Giants will be in the nightcap for this one. I think smart all around there and a good foot forward after what was an ugly offseason for baseball. Dr. Fauci's going to throw a strike tonight. You going to book it?
If he throws from the mound...
Dr. Anthony Fauci, the head, you know, of infectious disease doctor, right, who's been leading us through these troubled times, throwing out the opening pitch for the Nats and Yankees.
I love the man. I hope he fires in a strike. If he throws from the mound, I'm not going to book it. And I'll even count. It's not going to, even if it's kind of a lob, if it's in the strike area, I give him the strike. But I'm not going to book it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dr. Fauci.
I can't believe.
No, I want him to. No, I have to be an analyst here. I mean, everybody in Cleveland gets mad if I don't pick them to go 16-0 every year. I got to be an analyst. I got to say what I think. I don't think he's going to throw a strike if he throws from the rubber.
Fine. You know what? Closing the doors. Fauci Island is closed. You don't get to live here anymore. Fauci is going to lace this one down the plate. It is going to be a celebration to start the major league season. How dare you?
What do you want me to say? I hope he does. You know what? I hope we come in tomorrow, and I was wrong.
We won't have to hope on that one. Huh? I know you're going to be wrong on this one. Dodgers going to win at least three World Series titles with Mookie Betts on their roster. You going to book it?
Again, they've won seven straight division titles, third longest streak since the division started in 1969. No, I'm not going to book that. I mean, they've been able to close the deal winning those things. So, no, I'm not going to book three. There's no shot. I wouldn't do that in any sport. Book that amount of championships.
Two.
No, I'm not booking it.
One.
Yeah, I'll book that.
make it as easy as possible. I'm not going to book it either here. Maybe bust out a couple of garbage cans. That seems like a good way to string a couple together in successive order right now. I don't think that'll be the case, but over the course of 13 years, that's the interesting part, is they've already been so successful, but baseball is not necessarily a sport where you get to add a Kawhi Leonard-type talent and all of a sudden the Raptors get over the hump in this one now. But you got to get something in there, and I certainly hope it is at a time right now where we can get that and get in a situation where Clayton Kershaw is able to get over some of those postseason boogeymen in a lot of this. All right. Gerrit Cole will lead Major League Baseball in strikeouts. You going to book it?
Yeah, I'm going to book that. He led last year, and I don't see that changing. So I will book. I think he had 363 or something like that.
At least one strikeout in 63 consecutive innings to end the 2019 regular season. The guy's insane, and I know we talked to Buster Olney yesterday, who says it sounds like he has been firing already on all cylinders.
326 he had last year with the leader. Yeah, said he was on. Looks great right now. So, yes, I'm going to book that.
Yeah, young guy in his prime in a lot of this one here. I'm excited to see the show that he puts on here at a time early on where we expect pitchers to have a bit of an advantage over hitters as they get back into a groove in a lot of this one here. Matthew Wolf will defend his title at the 3M Open this weekend. Are you going to book
seriously?
It?
Seriously? How am I booking that?
I have no idea.
I wouldn't care if it was a name everybody recognized who won it last year to sit there and say defend it. I'm never taking a person over the field. We're not in the Tiger days anymore where I would take Tiger over the field. So no way I'm booking that.
Shout out to the folks at the 3M Open, Kyle Rudolph, our good buddy, obviously has done a lot of work with them, a great ambassador for Minnesota and for that golf tournament there, something he's really passionate about. How about this one? Last one booking it. Antonio Brown will play in the NFL again. Retired, and then yesterday said he wants the NFL to finish up their investigation into his impropriety so he can get back to playing.
No, he's not playing. Not booking that. Not playing in the NFL anymore.
I can't book it.
I know because the talent is there, but man, I don't see anybody pulling the string on that one.
We're watching T.O. at 46 run 4.340s and asking questions. Someone at some point, once we get on the other side of all this craziness,
you would think.
I think a normal offseason is going to produce different results. Coming up next, we got young guys getting paid, and that trend continues in a different city. We'll get to that next. It's Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio.